Welcome into a Bleed Tech Blue radio podcast, the podcast home of the authority on Louisiana Tech sports, BleedTechBlue.com.
Welcome into a special podcast-only edition of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of your normal Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me on this special podcast version of the show. Jason, breaking news today out of Louisiana Tech, something that I mentioned on BleedTechBlue.com that was coming. Louisiana Tech is now an Adidas school, no longer with Nike.
Yeah, the big question was it going to be Under Armour or Adidas? We knew it was not going to be Nike. Nike just doesn't seem to care about the G5 schools. They were just kind of throwing out a nominal offer, and Adidas was trying to get back into college athletics and really wanted to double the amount of schools that they have contracts with. And so Louisiana Tech was able to get a really nice offer, and one of the biggest ones in the group of five.
Yeah, I talked to Tommy McClellan this afternoon, and he was really happy about this deal. He mentioned to me that he felt like he just about fell out of his chair when they opened up the offer from Adidas. The first one came in from Under Armour. He didn't mention any specific numbers, but did say that it was the Adidas one was significantly higher than Under Armour. And I don't think any of us expected that, honestly. With Adidas having already a presence in the state of Louisiana and Under Armour having no presence in the state of Louisiana, I really expected Under Armour to be lower than or higher than Adidas, but they weren't. $3.025 million over 5 years is what Adidas offered Louisiana Tech. That averages out to $605,000 over 5 years. I did read on Facebook just a second ago from Louisiana Tech football equipment manager Jonathan Abels. He shared this, that the Lady Texter basketball team actually won't join the contract until 2017. So that's interesting. 2016, all the Bulldogs and Lady Texters outside of the Lady Texter basketball team will be donning Adidas.
Yeah, and that's really a great deal. Right at $600,000 a year, more than double, or probably more than three times what they were getting in gear. And, you know, maybe back in the day it was a big deal to be a Nike school because, especially in basketball, everybody wanted to wear Nike and to some degree football. But nowadays it's just all about swag. How much stuff can I get? How many different uniform combinations can we have? And you can't do that if you have $150,000, $175,000 a year. You can barely have enough to have one uniform for all the sports. So now they'll have all kinds of cool gear, and they'll be able to change up and get some new alternate uniforms. And, you know, you've seen it with Texas A&M. You've seen it with Mississippi State. You know, you've seen the UCLA stripes that are real famous. You know, Tech will have similar stuff to that as far as the look of the uniform.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to a friend of mine that works in a Power 5 athletic department, Jason, and he said it's a big deal for Louisiana Tech to get that contract and go to Adidas. You mentioned how Nike doesn't really care about the G5s, and it really is the gospel truth. I mean, that's hard for us to really understand, but they don't care. I mean, last year, Louisiana Tech's – or this current year's contract – with Nike, Tech has to spend $350 on $350,000 on apparel to get less. I think it's actually I put $150,000 in the store today, but I think it's less than. I think it's like $130,000 of free apparel under this current deal or the new deal. Adidas has taken that to $300,000 of a buy-in, and they'll give them $605,000 of free gear for their $300,000.
Yeah, it's really a great deal, and it's amazing to me. It seems like, or it's interesting to me, that Adidas is trying to get into basketball schools. They've got deals with UCLA, Indiana, Kansas, Louisville. They got a couple football schools, Miami, Nebraska.
Arizona State.
Yeah, but it seems like they're really trying to get into some of those traditional basketball powerhouses, and I'm not saying that Louisiana Tech is trying to make the move to be a basketball school only, but they've certainly, in the last 4 years, made an effort to be more of a basketball school than they were, and they've made a big investment in basketball, and I think this is just another improvement in that area. You know, we've seen the strength coach hire for basketball they've never had before. You know, the salaries for the assistant coaches and head coach are significantly higher than they were just 6 or 7 years ago. And now with the gear, too, we've seen it pay off in recruiting with Eric Conklin. We'll get into that in a little while, but this is just going to help.
Big deal for Louisiana Tech to be with Adidas. Switching gears, you hinted at it. Louisiana Tech got a commitment, and he's told me that he has signed yesterday in the main name has escaped me. So this is where you're going to pick up my slack.
Daquan Bracey from Baltimore, Maryland, 5'11" point guard, had offers from all over the country, but especially over out east in Georgetown, UMass, Towson, then coming over to Kansas State, Dayton. And so this really dynamic point guard, really fast, and something that this team just doesn't have right now. You know, this team's a lot longer, 6'2", is probably the shortest player on the roster. Everybody else is 6'4" and above. And so he's not a real small guy. He's not one of these little 5'8 guys. He's 5'11". He's pretty strong. But he's just quick. He can shoot it, but he can get in the lane, and that's really what this team needs. They don't really have that Energizer Bunny pass-first point guard like they've had in the last 4 years with Speedy Smith. And so Daquan will definitely fill that void.
And he visited Louisiana Tech this week, was at the game last night. He signed the paperwork of what he needed to have signed, faxed it over to his mom. She faxed it back, and we haven't had an official announcement from Louisiana Tech on his signing, but today was the last day of the signing period, and he told me that the fax got done. So if it doesn't happen, it was a clerical error, an accounting, something like that, that is going to keep it from happening, because he said they did get it done.
So we'll probably see an announcement either Thursday or Friday on that, and that gives the Duncan Dogs 4 signees in the fall period. That fills them up. The other 3 signees were guard Jalen Harris from Duncanville, Texas, wing Jacoby Pemberton from Lancaster, Texas, and then the big man Oliver Powell from Rowlett, Texas, 6'8". So basically, you got 4 players, totally 4 different kind of players. So as versatile as this Tech lineup is, I mean, Coach Conkle's adding to that versatility by bringing in 4 completely different style of players, or at least different positions, and he will just have a very versatile lineup going forward.
Yeah, there's absolutely. I mean, this was a big get for the Bulldogs, the Duncan Dogs, as everybody calls them. Of course, they did get Derek Jean in last year's signing class, and we got a chance to get a look of Derek Jean and Jalen Washington, and that is his last name.
Yeah, Jalen Washington really surprised me. You know, when I saw his height and his listed weight, I'm thinking, okay, this kid's a string bean. Hey, when I came out of high school, I was 6'7", 180. I know the feeling. I just couldn't jump like him. But
I did hear he has the biggest vertical on the roster, and at 6'7", 6'8", already, that's astounding.
Oh, yeah, and he looks every bit as tall, standing up next to Merrill Holden in the huddles. I mean, he looked to be 6'8", and he got up for a couple of block shots. He could really elevate, and he looks a lot stronger than I pictured him. I figured he'd be real thin, but you know, he's not Paul Millsap out there, but he's definitely strong enough to contend and inside and hold his own, and he's just going to keep getting better. So I mean, in his first game against a Division I team, both Washington and Derrick Jean looked really good.
So then you talk about the game last night, Jason. Tech trailed at halftime by 10. It wasn't like this team trailed by 5 or 6, and they played some awful basketball. Eric Conkle made a couple adjustments in the second half. Tech wins by 12. It's one of the better coaching jobs we've seen in the TAC in quite some time, and that's saying something whenever you had somebody like Mike White inside the Thomas Assembly Center.
Yeah, and Texas Arlington reminds me a lot about Rice. You know, they don't have the most talent on the floor. They got decent size, but they're well coached. They're going to do the right thing and make the right moves, and they're not going to beat themselves. And so if you're shooting bad, if you turn the ball over, they're going to take advantage of it. And it seems like as good as Alex Hamilton and Eric McCree are, they do like to settle for that jump shot sometimes because they are good shooters. And they feel they have confidence in their shot and they can make it. But at the same time, they're both very good at getting in the lane and finishing in traffic. And so if they will put that ball on the floor and get in the lane and either make something happen for themselves or their teammates, it just makes the whole team better. We saw that with Robinson hitting a couple of big – I mean, Deshaun Robinson hit a couple of big threes. Derrick Jean hit some from the outside. And when those two guys are the focal points of the offense and they're moving the ball, those other guys are going to be able to take advantage. And so we'll see Jacoby Boykins come back, and he, along with Robinson, will be the two primary threats from outside. And I guess Derrick Jean, too, has proven he can knock down the shots. But you mentioned it in the Bleed Fed Blue forums. I was really impressed with Kedar Davis. I mean, he was a lockdown defender last year, and he did get in foul trouble last night. But he was playing his signature defense last night. But then again, on the offensive end, he was really crashing the glass and just making things happen.
I can't get over how much he's improved offensively. He was a liability last year on the offensive end, but he's not a liability any longer. And Jason, Saturday the Bulldogs take on Grambling, in just 5 miles down the road in Grambling, and they add three more players that they get off of, two of them off of academic suspension and one off of transfer. Antoine Luckett coming off the transfer, and Jacoby Boykins and Janiah White off of academic suspension. That's big time for Louisiana Tech. For them to come away with the victory last night without any of those three guys who arguably could be starters was huge.
Yeah, all three of those guys could be starters. I mean, outside of Hamilton and McCree, there's really – I don't think the starting job is locked down 100%. And all three of those guys, you know, could very well be holding down starting jobs in the next couple of weeks. I mean, Luckett's a transfer from Alcorn State, former top – you know, one of the top 100 or 150 recruits in the country at one time. And 6'5 guard, brings a lot of size. Boykins, 6'6", kind of a – shooting guard, small forward, can shoot it really tall, really long. And then Janiah White, the only 7-footer on the team, really need his size in there. So now they've got 11 players healthy, ready to go. And it was kind of awkward at times last night. You know, you got 8 players and 2 of them had 4 fouls with plenty of time left in the game. And a third player had 3 fouls. So they were looking at finishing with just 5. Those fouls kept coming. And, of course, one of our favorite referees was out there, and we thought, okay, here we go. We're about to get 20 more fouls called. But they finally let them play a little bit there at the end.
You brought it up. I didn't bring it up this time. Larry Spalding is his name. I call him Chia Pet. You call him Eddie Munster. The fact that the guy's allowed to come in the Thomas Assembly Center still – Jason, how many years would you say he's been calling basketball games at the Thomas Assembly Center?
Oh, I mean, I recognize him from – I've been around Tech for 20 years, and I recognize him for the whole time. So he's been coming around for a long time, and it seems like he loves to call against the home team. Maybe he does that in other arenas, but he certainly does that in Ruston, Louisiana.
It is absolutely crazy. I last night, I don't know how Eric Conkle didn't get tossed, but he's a really cool customer. If I would have been there, I would have been tossed.
Yeah, he didn't want to get tossed in his first ever Division I game as the Tech head coach, but you could tell he was frustrated with the referee. But the main thing is they had to have some adjustments. They overcame adversity. They pushed through and got the lead and then expanded the lead and took care of business. And so now going forward, they'll have a full roster minus Merrill Holden, who's still out for a few more weeks with an injury. But 11 players is way better than 8. And then when Holden comes back, they'll be deep, especially inside, and they won't have to play such a small lineup if they don't want to. But the good thing is now he's got options. He can play small ball. He can play big, half court, full court, whatever he wants to do.
Well, switching gears to Louisiana Tech football, the Bulldogs on a 3-game winning streak, looking to make it 4 Saturday in El Paso as they take on UTEP in a Conference USA matchup at 2:30, 1:30 Mountain Time, local time. over there close to Mexico, basically Mexico.
It's a big, over there next to Juarez.
Next to Juarez. It's going to be a big time game for Louisiana Tech. They continue to improve their statistical rankings and throughout the country. 22nd overall in total offense, 17th in total or passing offense, 13th in scoring offense, 6th in rushing defense, 4th down conversions, they're 13th. 3rd down conversion percentage defense, they're 55th. Punt returns, 45th. Fewest penalties per game, 20th. Fewest penalty yards per game, 21st. First down defense, 50th. They're doing all right. And then you go to the defense, they're 42nd in total defense. And rush defense, they're sitting at 6th.
Yeah, and the opposite is true over in El Paso. You know, they lost Aaron Jones early in the season, either week one or week two. They're big-time running back. And they just kind of lost their way for a few weeks. It looks awful. The last few weeks, they started to try to kind of rebuild that. We saw them beat Rice, and we thought, well, hey, maybe that's something. Of course, then Rice got totally blown out by Southern Miss, so maybe Rice has just packed it in this season. But then we get the news this week that Leftwich, the quarterback out at UTEP, is out for this game. And so whatever momentum they did have, it looks like it came to a screeching halt. And when they run into Louisiana Tech on Saturday, it's not looking good for El Paso or the Miners.
When you look at their statistical rankings, passing offense, it's not even respectable. Even their passing offense, they're missing their quarterback, is 80th. Their rush offense, missing Aaron Jones, their best player on the entire team, they're 106th. In scoring offense, they're 110th, averaging 21 points a game. Total defense, they're 111th. Passing yards allowed, 118. Team passing efficiency defense, 119. The way that Skip Holtz talked Monday in his press conference, they're going to crowd the line of scrimmage and dare you to beat them deep.
Well, the one bad thing for Louisiana Tech is not this week, but next week. We're talking about a possible championship for the Western Division against Southern Miss. And when Tech's played the last few teams they've played, like a UTEP with no passing threat, North Texas, no passing threat, Texas San Antonio with their backup quarterback, no passing threat, Rice, not much of a passing threat. Tech's been able to pin their ears back, stuff the run, and force turnovers and win games. And the off week came at a perfect time. Tech has played 10 straight weeks. They needed that break, get healthy. This UTEP game will allow them to kind of get back in the motion of playing football. You know, if there's anybody else that still has some nagging injuries, you know, maybe just kind of take it easy, not play a whole lot or not at all. Looking forward to that Southern Miss game. The problem is with the quarterback being out and having no fear of getting beat deep, is that going to prepare them for Southern Miss next week? And we'll talk about that on the radio next week, but is Tech going to be ready to face the passing offense?
We'll talk about it on this next week because we don't have a radio show next week.
Oh, okay. Well,
Thanksgiving regardless. Week, man. We got to prepare for our turkey eating.
Oh, that's right. Usually takes me about 3 days to get up the momentum for Thanksgiving because I got to eat a lot. But we'll talk about it right now, man. Is Tech going to be ready to face Southern Miss's passing attack? Week one, they went to week two, they played West Kentucky on the road. Kind of got blindsided there in the first quarter, got behind, and started digging back in the game. Ended up losing by three. Haven't really faced a big-time passing offense like that since.
But at the
everybody
same,
played has been a running quarterback.
But at the same time, Tech's defense overall is just playing a whole lot better. I mean, you look at UTSA, they threw the ball all over Tech. That game was kind of shocking, honestly, how much UTSA was able to move the ball through the air against what you mentioned just a second ago, a backup quarterback. And since
he was the backup quarterback. The Kansas State guy was like the third or fourth stringer, whatever he was. Played a lot of backup quarterbacks this year. So when they get this guy that's, you know, one of the conference leaders, you know, and not having faced a guy that slings it around that much, you know, they don't have that kind of experience against him.
There's no doubt. I mean, Nick Mullins is the best quarterback Tech has faced since week two against Brandon Doughty. And it's not even close, honestly. He is a good quarterback. But in week two, they played without Aaron Brown, which arguably was the missing piece early on in Tech's defensive woes. So Tech's a completely different defense from week two, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, it's a completely different defense. You're right. You mentioned Aaron Brown. Jalen Ferguson didn't really start playing a whole lot until the middle of the season, and he's just blown up at defensive end. So that's two defensive linemen that are totally different. And then in the secondary, at the beginning of the year, you had a few walk-ons and redshirt freshmen, second-year sophomores in the secondary as the backups. And now some of these true freshmen who have been on campus a little while now and gotten their feet wet, they've kind of taken over those backup roles. And so some of that has completely changed.
Luckily, we have another week to talk about Southern Miss.
Yeah, and so that's my biggest fear. I'm not worried about UTEP. I'm just worried about, is Tech going to be kind of in the habit of being able to rush the quarterbacks and just pin their ears back? Because you didn't really have to fear North Texas or now UTEP trying to beat you deep. And really for the last several weeks, you didn't have that fear. You could just pin your ears back and go. And now, yeah, you want to get to the quarterback, but if you don't get him, he's going to beat you. He's going to get the ball out. So you've got to get there quick.
You look at Massey ratings.
It'll be interesting to see.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be very interesting to see. You look at Massey ratings. I know people that listen to this show either are very tired of us talking about Massey ratings or they like it because we talk about it that much. 42-20 is Massey's prediction Saturday when the Bulldogs match up against the Miners. I haven't looked at the Vegas line in quite a while. I'm pulling it up as we speak. But it was very close on Sunday night, so it can't be that it's changed all that much. Yeah, it's sitting at 24.5 now. It's moved just a little bit. Went from 21-25 at the win, from 21.5 to 24.5 at the Venetian with an over-under of 55 right now. It opened at a 59.5. It's gone down a little bit. So probably since with the news of the quarterback being out is why that moved down.
Yeah, and that's right where, I mean, I guess we'll make predictions right at the end. That's kind of in line with each other and where I'm going to put it. I mean, Tech's going to win running away. They'll be able to rest their starters in the fourth quarter and get ready for Southern Miss. I mean, UTEP just doesn't have it right now. So just like North Texas, they're just not going to be able to put up a fight and maybe better luck next year. And Tech really, under Skip Holtz now for 2 years, has dominated.
Most teams are supposed to.
Yeah, Tech has dominated.
In Northwestern State, they've dominated everybody they're supposed to dominate.
Yeah, and Tech's dominated the Conference USA in general. I mean, a three-point loss in overtime at Old Dominion last year, three-point loss to the preseason favorite West Kentucky, both games on the road. You go 7-1 and blow people out the way Tech's blowing people out. I mean, Tech is the big dog on the block. Southern Miss, who was the big dog on the block for 15 years, maybe making a comeback under Ty Monken. I'm sure they're going to want that title back. Would love nothing better to knock off Louisiana Tech. Tech has never beaten, I keep saying it every week, Tech's never beaten Southern Miss 3 years in a row. And it's going to be up to the seniors, Cantrell Bryce, Kenneth Dixon, Vernon Butler, Jeff Driscoll. Those guys are going to have to be, you know, the leaders and keep that team level-headed and ready because Southern Miss is going to come in and give it everything they've got.
So what's your prediction?
For the UTEP game, I'm going 42-17.
So you think they score a little bit. See, I'm going to go 35-10 and put it right at the under. I know that's a low score output for the Tech. Let's go 42-10. 42-10. I got them covering and on the under.
I've got 42-17. So I'm going with the 25. The line is right there close. But, yeah, that's a lot of points to score, 59. But, you know, I mean, Tech's going
to
be aggressive.
Well, it's down to 55, so that helps a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's close. But, yeah, it should be a good game for Tech. Tech's going to roll, and that's just another win in a row. Tech's gone on a run to end the season. You know, this is the fourth out of the last 5 years. The Tech's put together at least a four-game winning streak in the second half of the season. So, I mean, that to me is a sign of a good team. Texas got a chance to go bowling.
We haven't talked about that today. If I were a betting man, I still say Dallas. I think Southern Miss will go to New Orleans. I think Tech's got a shot at going to, what is it, the St. Petersburg Bowl? Maybe it's Boca Raton, one of those Florida bowls.
You're seeing a few of these national publications make predictions. Tech against Memphis in St. Petersburg. I think the St. Petersburg Tampa Press would love nothing more to have Skip Holtz come out there so they can kind of rib him a little bit, the former South Florida coach. But you know what? Normally, I don't want Tech to play a Mountain West team or an American Conference team because you get so much more out of it when you can knock off an Illinois that's in a power conference. But Memphis, being a ranked team most of the year, being a nearby opponent within driving distance, you know, 5.5, 6 hours, whatever it is, they've got some national headlines. That would not be a bad game to be in. I think the Dallas Bowl is going to come down to basically – I think Southern Miss versus Tech. If Southern Miss beats Tech, they might get preference. And maybe since the Bulls don't really like to have the same teams 2 years in a row, Southern Miss might get that chance. But if Tech can take care of business and win against Southern Miss, you know, maybe they'll get preference for that game. And the loser might end up in New Orleans playing against, you know, Arkansas State or Appalachian State.
By the way, this game Saturday against UTEP has very little bearing on the championship, on making it to the championship game. If Tech loses Saturday and beats Southern Miss, they still make it.
Yeah, it's control your own destiny, but it's really that Saturday is basically a semifinal. Marshall's playing West Kentucky the same weekend
on Friday night
for the Eastern Championship, and then Tech versus Southern Miss. Those are the four teams. The conference put it perfectly somehow, and it just kind of worked out that way. So those are the four teams that are in it. Middle Tennessee, is almost a lock to be the fifth bowl team out of the conference.
And they'll be in the Bahamas.
But the sixth spot is kind of up in the air. Old Dominion beat UTEP to knock UTEP out of it. Old Dominion now has a shot, and I think they play FAU at the end of the year maybe to get their sixth win. They got a chance. Rice still mathematically is in it, but it looks like they're phoning in the rest of the season. They're kind of just laying down, so we'll see if they've got any fight left in them. But really, those are your only other two teams that have a chance for bowl eligibility now.
Well, Jason, appreciate you joining me here. We're right at a 30-minute mark. We're pretty dang close, so good stuff. We'll do this again next week, either Wednesday or Thursday night. More than likely, it'll be Wednesday night. But next week, Thursday, we'll have a special podcast-only edition before the Southern Miss game. We'll have takes Tuesday off because of Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys next week right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
This has been a presentation of the Bleed Tech Blue Radio Podcast by BleedTechBlue.com and hosted by Jonathan Ford. Don't forget to try a 7-day free trial on BleedTechBlue.com.